Today, the meeting of the Strait and Cannon Rivers is probably not as important as it was 200 years ago, when Native Americans and frontiersmen regularly used the waterways as their highways. But here, at the confluence of those two rivers, a man would found and generously give to a town that still bears his name. The story is this edition of The American Countryside.
Does it ever seem like, when you're looking for the right tool, you just can't find it? You've been looking for a better nitrogen solution for your corn crop. A nitrogen source that stays put and doesn't leach away. Now it's easy to find Pivot BioProven, the tiny nitrogen-producing microbes that tightly adhere to your corn's roots. These microbes take nitrogen from the air, convert it to ammonia, and apply it directly to each plant all season long. Pivot BioProven. Predictable. Productive. Weatherproof. Get the right tool. Get the new nitrogen. Get Pivot BioProven.
A Farm in the Countryside podcast, we're talking about the stories, tips, and trends affecting agricultural and rural America. What can you expect in the markets? How do you evaluate new technology? What are the latest trends when it comes to successful crop and livestock operations? Those topics and many more are our weekly focus with guests from across the nation. Farming the Countryside is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Find the Farming the Countryside podcast on the AgriTalk app or just use your favorite podcast platform. And you can follow our show on Facebook. Catch Farming the Countryside for a weekly look at the stories affecting rural and agricultural America. Minnesota became a state in 1858. By the beginning of the Civil War, one of its largest cities was at the confluence of the Cannon and Strait Rivers.
By 1860, this town had 1,000 people in it, so really exploded quickly.
Sue Garwood is the executive director of the Rice County Historical Society and is speaking of Faribault, Minnesota. It was Alexander Faribault who established a fur trading post here in the 1830s and made this his home for the rest of his life.
It's a pretty impressive list of people who came. Ralph Waldo Emerson, Frederick Douglass, Mark Twain, all made sure that Faribault was on their stop when they came to Minnesota.
Alexander Faribault was not only well known in his community, but in his young state. He gave generously to others and helped his town grow in the process.
He kind of knew everybody. That connection to and knowledge with everyone is partly why Faribault has all of the amenities it has. Those were all made and became possible in part because of efforts that Alexander did to promote and build the town.
Alexander was part Dakota, and his kinship with the natives of this area was important throughout his life, especially after the Dakota War of the 1860s.
The Dakota, who after the War of 1862, there were about 80 who returned to Faribault, they lived on Alexander Faribault's land. And the Indian agent who came here about 5 years after they'd been here reported that they were wholly dependent on Alexander.
Today, many of the institutions that Faribault helped establish remain and flourish in the city. He was the founder who truly worked to help the town succeed well after his death. Traveling the Countryside in Faribault, Minnesota, I'm Andrew McCrae.